If the Bible is not the word of God, and it is simply just a proof text that we are going to affirm the things that we really want to do because we like this religion, then yeah, I think there's some merit. But if it's a supernatural book that contains the words of a living being who is a person who exists in a triune reality that is ruling and reigning and wrapping up all creation according to his will, if that God is speaking in a book, then what you hold in front of you is, as I am with my voice right now, he is with his voice in his word.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
Never started a show this way, but I want to say I am Dave to the 23rd letter of Wilson. On Family Life Today. And everybody's like, what is he talking about? Yes. We got Kate in the second letter, B. Burgess, and Amina on the show today. I mean, how cool is it to be able to say Kate in the second letter?
Right.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you got something like that?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Nothing?
No. Get cumbersome real quick. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And start, you know, tripping over a lot of words. Kate to the 15th. Yeah.
Well, I had to add it up in my head. What's a W? Oh, it's a 23rd letter. I couldn't
that
even
get it. That is impressive. Yeah. Because I don't know the alphabet unless I sing it. Like, so I got A, B, C, D, and I'll do the math, and then I'll get to the number. So yeah. I'm impressed. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's really glad to have you guys on Family Life Today. You've never been here.
This is my first time on the show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Tell us, give us first impressions. What do you think?
Man, first of all, these folks, the salt of the earth.
Yes, listen.
Taking good care of us and just the topics that y'all are tackling. Mm-hmm. Got to spend some time in lunch earlier today talking through where we were going and also where y'all have been.
Yeah.
I am excited and I'm praying that by God's grace that we can add something of substance and edification to this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful institution you got.
You guys, well, you guys will.
You guys have been friends for a long time.
Yes.
You have a podcast. Tell us what you do. Uh-huh. Tell us about your podcast.
Yes, we actually have a podcast called Southside Rabbi,
uh-huh.
and you can listen to it wherever you listen to
How
your podcast.
How did you come up with that name?
I thought the
same
thing.
So it's kind of like a double entendre. So it's Southside Rabbi because me and him met each other, and we were raised in Southside, St. Petersburg, Florida. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an ode to where we're from.
Okay.
But then we also use it as Southside Rabbi because Jesus is our rabbi.
Yeah.
He found us in the South Side.
Yes, yes.
And so Jesus is, in a sense, a South Side rabbi to us.
Absolutely.
Right? So mm-hmm. that's how we came up with the name.
And to add to that just briefly, because mm-hmm. I'm sorry, brother. I'm just so excited about who Jesus is.
Yes.
In that Jesus is forever, according to Peter in Acts, the Jesus of Nazareth. And Nazareth, historically, we know, would have been considered the South Side.
Absolutely.
The part of the city that you try to build highways over so you don't have to get off on that exit.
What good comes from Nazareth?
What good comes from this place? And Peter makes a point to say that this Jesus at the right hand of the Father is still the Savior from the South Side.
Yeah.
So I love the heart of God in his care for those who are often overlooked, under-resourced, or forgotten. And that's what Southside also encapsulates.
Amen. Gee, Liz, you're getting into dangerous Jesus stuff already. I mean, really, we haven't mentioned it, but your book, Dangerous Jesus, that's sort of, as I read it, isn't that sort of it? He is dangerous in a really good way.
Yes, indeed, he is. In a lot of ways, Jesus is the sum and substance of all that is dangerous in that he is a threat to anything that would threaten us. And that is expansive, right? He is a threat to our division. He is a threat to our injustice. He's a threat to our shame in that he brings a goodness that overcomes the threat with something so dramatically good that it cannot be denied.
Yeah.
That's who Jesus is. Yet, I'm a rapper. So I got a double entendres is the world I live in. There is a way that you can reimagine Jesus and stand him up as something that he is not, that becomes an absolute danger in the traditional sense. There is this difference. of a Christianity of man's imagination versus the Christianity of Scripture, the Christianity of Christ, which is life to the world. The alternative is death.
Yeah, and when I listen to Southside Rabbi, that's where you go.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So often to the beauty of who Christ is. But I didn't know your story.
Oh, yes, yes.
So walk us through that. Our listeners got to hear that.
Yeah. So me and KB met when we were in high school. And so we're grown men now.
But we were
kids when we met. I was about 15 years old. And at the time, I was being convicted of my sin. Okay. And the way that this happened is my mother bought me a Bible. She took me to a Christian bookstore, bought me a Bible, put my name in it in gold. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's official.
It's official.
I got my own now. I've got a seat in heaven. It's waiting for me. And so I felt like having a Bible was a rite of passage as a kid. I saw all of, you know, the adults that I knew had a Bible. My grandmother had a Bible. My uncles.
And you always went to church?
And I was raised in the church, right? And
probably so, a big old Bible, too, right?
Yeah, they had the big Bible. Oh, yeah.
The big Bible.
You come in the house and it's the centerpiece. And so I was raised in the church. So as a kid, I was always going to the church. My grandmother did the announcements at the church. And my mother took me to church every Sunday, even when I didn't want to go. And when I became a teenager, she stopped forcing me to go to church. So I gladly accepted it and just didn't go. And but she did one day out of the blue on a Saturday morning say, I'm going to take you to a Christian bookstore and buy you your own Bible. So I got a Bible. And I remember when I was excited about it and I got home and I opened it. And I don't know how, because I don't know how to navigate the Bible at this time, but I came across the Ten Commandments, and when I read them, I said, I have broken all of these commandments.
Every one of these.
And
twice
I was
on
like,
Sunday.
Oh, shoot, yes. Maybe twice today. And so once I read the Ten Commandments and I saw that I had broken them, I just started feeling at this time, I didn't know that this is what it was, but conviction about my sin. Mm. So I tried to go back to just living my life as a sinner, because I was, and I could not do it comfortably because every time I would go to just try to live my life and go back to the sins that I was committing, there was something in the back of my mind
kind
and in my heart. Yes, that was constantly disturbing.
Yes,
Paul says.
Yeah, boy.
Pauline. Talks about how the law is a taskmaster, schoolmaster, to show you that you have broken these broken God's laws and show you your need for a savior. And so I was trying to live my life the way that I knew how, just going back and doing what I was doing, and I just could not shake the conviction. Mm-hmm. And the conviction got so bad that I said, I have to do something about this. The language that I would use now is every morning when I woke up, I felt like God was disappointed with me, that he was mad at me. And I used to wake up and just feel it. And it makes me think about what it says in the Bible, how it talks about how God's wrath is abiding on those who are rebelling against him. And that's what it felt like. Mm. And so I said, okay, what do Christians do? How can I make God happy? They go to church. They don't do things like curse and other bad things. And so I just started driving myself to church because I was like, I want to make God happy. So I would get up and take myself to church on Sunday.
So you're performing for
him. I'm performing. Yes. I'm doing white knuckle effort.
Yeah.
I don't know it at the time, but I'm trying to earn my salvation by my own righteousness, right? Which is impossible.
Yes.
And I felt it. So I got to church and I didn't like it. I didn't understand what the preacher was talking about. He was up there sweating and yelling at me. And I didn't know what was going on. Everybody was clapping. I didn't know why he was clapping because he's yelling and sweating. And so I was like, I don't like this. There's no one here my age. I don't understand what this guy is talking about, so I'm not coming back here, right? I went home one weekend and I opened my Bible on a Saturday morning and I tried to read it and it was like reading hieroglyphics. And I was like, I don't understand what this stuff is saying. And I had the NLT version too. And I closed the Bible and I said, this is impossible. Mm-hmm. No one can do this. Mm. I remember saying that in my brain. And I said, if there are Christians out there that are doing this, they are faking it because I have tried with all of my might. And in God's providence, just a few months after that, I met KB at the grocery store that we got this job at, this new grocery store. We met each other at orientation. Mm-hmm. We hit it off. We had everything in common. We were laughing and joking during orientation.
So you love this guy.
Yeah, we like became friends instantly at the orientation. And then when I worked with him, probably like a week or so after that, we worked a whole shift together. It was the same chemistry. And then after that, he told me he was a Christian.
Yep.
And I was shocked.
How'd that go? Was that hard, KB, to even tell him? Or was that just a part of who you were at that time?
It flowed out of who I was.
Yeah.
And that's always in the back of my mind, too, where I'm clear out the gate. I am always disguised as an evangelist. I'm always disguised as an evangelist. So it was in my mind, in my heart, and as we were talking, we just connected over sneaker culture, hip-hop culture, and I brought up the fact that I had new Jesus, and Jesus had saved my life. Yep. And
you were doing Christian music?
And I started making Christian music, and I started playing some stuff for Amin, and then Amin just started peppering me with questions. Yeah. He just started asking me, well, what does God feel about this? What does God feel about that? And we spent every single day together.
Yeah, we did.
Every day. And we would walk through scripture. We would talk about the different ways in which this applies to our lives. Mm-hmm. And it got to a place where it was clear to me that God was closing the deal. Okay.
Yeah,
now, I hate to put it that way because it's not a transaction. But me and Amin, last night I got invited to one of my neighbor's house, and he is of a different religion, and he showed me where he worships his gods, and he's Hindu. And we were sitting there talking, and I asked him, do the gods talk back to you? And he kind of paused for a second and was like, no, I am filled with way too much sin. God would never talk to me. And I mean, as soon as I told Amin the story, he said, lay up!
Yeah.
That's a fastball right down the middle. Right down the middle.
And you are Mark McGwire on steroids. Hey, you're about to hit that thing out of the park.
But that's how it felt. So it's the same situation. It was like, this is clearly a alley-oop. God is ready to slam this. And I slid him the very album that led me to Jesus. It was an album called Bloody Street. Streets, Volume 1. I thought it was about hurting people in the streets, but it was about the blood of Jesus that is extended to everyone, especially those who are in the streets.
Yeah.
And it was an album that had 8 songs on it. The 8th song was a gospel presentation. I believed on Jesus. It changed my life. And then a year later, I meet this man, and we go through this process of asking questions, very Nicodemus in the night-like.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah, that's
I
what
gave
it was like.
Nick at Night.
Nick
and
at
I
night.
Gave him the CD. And he went into the same room that I trusted. I just thought about that. The same room I trusted Jesus in.
Oh, same wow. room.
You
what
went
do you mean?
Into that. So I had a room at my grandmother's house.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And I listened to the CD in that room.
Wow.
8 songs, a gospel presentation. He led me in, the rapper led me in a prayer. I trusted Jesus and was been walking with him ever since. Yeah. I gave Amin that CD. He went into that room, closed the door, and I waited out in the kitchen, praying the Lord, Lord, make it stick. Please.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Amin, he did the same thing. And then Amin went home after that. And just
I
to
did
be
it
sure.
Again. I did it again.
I gave him the CD, or gave him, it was on an MP3 player, sorry. And he took it home, listened to it again, and
we've been best friends ever
best
since.
Best friends ever since.
And that was 2006?
2006.
I think.
And got the honor 2006? Of discipling Amin, and now he disciples me.
So, Amin, like, did that blow your mind, this idea of grace?
Yes, it did. It also felt like, I always describe it like in the moment, it felt like a film, because it felt like everything that had happened in my life was leading up to this moment. Right? That this was like the zenith. Mm. And I was like, this is what I'm here for. That's what I felt. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because I at the time, I didn't know much about, you know, God or his sovereignty and his providence. But I did know at the time, this felt bigger than me.
Mm.
And it felt like, this is why I'm here.
Mm.
It was to get to this moment.
Yes.
And also, you know what I was really blown away by? I was blown away by God being able to relate to someone like me in my culture.
Mm.
Because I thought that Christians, as we talked about a little bit earlier, looked like Steve Urkel.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that Christians can dress in Jordans and be a part of kind of hip-hop culture. I didn't know there was Christian hip-hop.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that. And I was blown away by the fact that God was very much so present in the culture of the South Side of where I grew up.
Mm.
And that's what made me say God cares about us.
Yeah.
And that God relates to us in this way.
Well, I find it interesting, too. How important was it that you actually liked this guy?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, God knew.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, what I was thinking is so often, I mean, we know this. As a preacher, you know this. They're not going to listen to the message unless they appreciate or like the messenger.
True.
And so Christians are so often hated.
Yeah. Mm.
Hypocritical judgment or whatever. And so they try and share Christ with somebody, and they're not liked. And I'm not saying we cow down to the culture of
your
life.
Of course.
But he's laughing. You enjoy this guy. You guys connected at that orientation. Yep. There's already something you like about him. And then when he hands you something, you're like, I'm interested in it. If you didn't like this dude, and he's like, I want to lead you to Jesus, you're like, I'm not interested in your Jesus, right?
Or he's hypocritical.
Or he's hypocritical. Or if he treated me like a project, which I feel like Christians do in evangelism too, is that they meet a person and just say, oh, you're just a gospel project. You're not really a human being. So I don't really care about you
as
a person or what your story, what you're interested in. Yeah. I'm only feigning to care about those things to get you to a gospel presentation.
Yeah.
That doesn't work either.
Yeah,
I think
agreed.
That loving your neighbor means that you have to care about them
and
their life and their humanity.
Yeah.
And that comes out when that authenticity comes out when you're actually talking to someone and forming a relationship with them.
Yeah,
you know?
Agreed.
And
agreed.
I didn't feel like I was just a project to preach the gospel at. I felt like I was a human being that another human being loved and cared for and was
absolutely.
Trying to reach.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So how's this relationship developed into Southside Rabbi and everything else you're doing?
Yeah. So as long as I can remember, we have been pretty serious about our Father's business. And I'll say we trusted Jesus when we were young. I wish I was younger. There are wounds that I certainly would have avoided if I would have trusted Jesus when I was, you know, 8.
Yeah.
But we, from the inception of our friendship, became very serious about the kingdom of God. We weren't clubbing or partying, and I'm not particularly trying to come at folks that do that. I'm just saying that just was not on our mind as teenagers.
You had bigger business.
We had bigger business.
Yes.
We had funner business.
Yeah, that's true.
And what we did was we continued to keep this rhythm, and this rhythm stayed the rhythm probably until we were probably 24, 25 years old. It started to look different once we got married and started having kids and had to have jobs and stuff. I cannot just be sharing the gospel till 3 a.m. I got to do other stuff. But anyways, we would be very, very vocal about our faith. And I cannot agree with you more. The gospel does not need your help being hard.
So
adding your sharpness to it is not helping anyone. It may make you feel better, maybe stroke your ego, but it is not helping people to believe. But we were very vocal about our witness, we weren't trained. I mean, we end up going to Bible college and stuff like that. But initially, I just had a witness. God, save me. It's possible. Look, you read about Lazarus. I can show you Lazarus right now in a 16-year-old black man from Southside St. Petersburg. I am Lazarus. And we went very, very vocal about that. God also had to get a hold of relationship that we had with our parents, because what I would find is that we weren't necessarily thinking about how we might honor our parents along with being serious about evangelizing the world. So we made also our relationship with our parents a location for God's effect on our lives. So I cannot be out here talking about how great Jesus is if I disrespect my mom. So we wanted our families to look at us and say, they have been changed, lest the change is not real.
So you were thinking that in high school?
We were thinking about that in high school. Absolutely.
That's deep.
Absolutely. And then we studied scripture. So we spent a lot of time diving into the word that led us through a few traditions theologically, some that I will not name.
I mean, what would it have been like if you guys hadn't had each other?
Man, it would have been hard. I think that would have been hard. I can't imagine.
You guys are bold. You're loud.
Wow.
I don't mean volume. Jesus. I mean, your life is loud in your face. And I don't know you know, behind the scenes, but what I've seen. But I mean, there's a dangerous Jesus that's dangerous in you, which is really attractive. We had a quarterback come to the Lions years ago that was like you guys. He's bold, confident.
Yeah.
And in one season, our listeners have heard this, we baptized 27 players.
Wow.
That's a revival in an NFL locker room.
That's a revival.
And it was because of his bold. I mean, he brought a Bible as big as his table. Flopped it down and said, this is who I am, this is where, and he was an evangelist. You guys remind me of John Kidna.
Oh,
I'm like,
wow.
So, I mean, where does that boldness come from?
I would say, I believe it, man.
Yeah.
I believe it. You know, the fact of the matter is, ministry in the West is rubbing shoulders rather with business. I mean, these are full operations that have staff and 401ks. And whenever sponsorship begins to get introduced to the table, you have considerations you didn't have before. It's like, you know, first you're just thinking about, man, what can we do that is the most effective to reach people? And then you're like, what can I do to keep the lights on and people paid? Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Some of that can be, that's not all bad. I mean, I want to make sure that people in my organization have, you know, jobs and healthcare, you know?
Yeah.
So I get the conflict, but I think that I need regular calibration, and God, by God's grace, He has surrounded me with good men and women, many of them older than I am, that have I've been able to be on their coattails to navigate this world. And what I pull from regularly is I need escapes from all of the show, all of the lights, the cameras, and I need to get away. And I need to reevaluate where I stand. Do I believe? And as I continue to go back, Sadie, I'm sure y'all know Sadie Robinson. I'm not saying her name right, but Sadie Robinson. She preached that passion, and I got to hear her message. And I had never heard a full Sadie sermon before. The question that she posed was, how do I know that God is real? Because that was the question she was asked. And she gave a very simple answer that she had pulled from another speaker, Louis. She was talking to Louis Giglio, and Louis said, I know that God is real because of the Bible, which for people who have these kind of debates online, they would say, well, that's oddly circular.
You're saying that
the Bible tells you God is real, and then you also go to the Bible to know that God is real. This is like a
circular argument.
But it's circular if it isn't true, okay? If the Bible is not the word of God, and it is simply just a proof text that we are going to affirm the things that we really want to do because we like this religion, then yeah, I think there's some merit. But if it's a supernatural book that contains the words of a living being who is a person who exists in a triune reality that is ruling and reigning and wrapping up all creation according to His will, if that God is speaking in a book, then what you hold in front of you is, as I am with my voice right now, you know it's me,
because
it's my voice.
Right.
He is with His voice in His word.
Yeah.
And this is the emphasis that she made in this message around that the Bible is to be, it can be trusted, it is to be trusted, and in it, you will find the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ where you find life.
Right.
And I am constantly needing, and I'll be honest, I'll say this to you all, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, I had a moment in the last couple years where I was experiencing some success that I'd never seen before. And it made me, for the first time in almost 11 years of doing this, I got off stage one time and I missed it. I missed the applause. I'd never felt it before. And it scared me. And I took that to my, there's a couple pastors in my life, great therapists, my wife, I confessed it to my brothers, and we decided that the most courageous thing for me to do was not to push through it, but to stop and slow down. And I took almost 6 months off the road just to recalibrate. And I saw all that to say, I want to be certain that I believe. And as I continue to revisit the voice of God and see God's work in saving and rescuing the lost, I am reminded what I am doing and why I am doing it. And I don't know how you could be on that and not be bold.
We're Dave and Ann Wilson, and you've been listening to Family Life Today.
We've been talking with KB and Amin Hudson, and KB's written a book called Dangerous Jesus, Why the Only Thing More Risky Than Getting Jesus Right is Getting Jesus Wrong. And you can get a copy at familylifetoday.com. And you might not know this about Family Life, but we're donor-supported. That means that conversations like today's get into people's homes and cars because of financial partners who believe in reaching others with God's plan for families.
And right now, when you partner financially with Family Life to help more conversations like today's get into more homes, we want to send you, as our thanks, a copy of Sissy Goff's book, The Worry-Free Parent. Sounds like a good book, doesn't it? The Worry-Free Parent, Living in Confidence So Your Kids Can Too.
You can partner with us at FamilyLifeToday.com or by calling 800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today.
Or you can mail your donation to Family Life, 100 Lake Hart Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. Make sure to let us know you'd like a copy of The Worry-Free Parent by Sissy Goff. And let me say thanks for partnering with Family Life.
We're Ann and Dave Wilson, and we'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry.
Helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.